Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We're going to continue on in our series, The Gifts of the Holy Spirit, and this is part number 11. And I'm endeavoring to start out talking about the gift of faith, as I was yesterday, but we didn't get to it. We started talking about the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and that's how the Holy Spirit led us. So I believe it's time to get back to the gift of faith. The gift of faith is one of those exciting gifts. And we're told about this gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9. It says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. This is talking about special kind of faith, the gift of faith, because these are spiritual gifts. This isn't your normal faith. This isn't saving faith or just faith in God's existence. Because if these were gifts to have faith in God's existence, then we wouldn't be required to actually believe, because God would just give us the gift, right? And it's one way you can look at it. So when we talk about normal kind of faith, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's true in the general sense, because you can read the scriptures, and it says that the scriptures can give us faith. You know, the word breathed upon by the Holy Spirit. But when we're talking about the gift of faith, as it says, for one is given these gifts, the manifestation of the Spirit of the gift of faith, we're talking about a special kind of faith. Now, what kind of faith is that? It's miraculous faith to step out beyond what you normally could do. Like, for example, where can we look at in the New Testament to see the gift of faith in operation? Well, Jesus is the perfect example. What one kind of illustration could we use that would demonstrate that? The first thing that comes to my mind is raising Lazarus from the dead. And, of course, we're going to get that in just a moment, as I almost forgot my custom that I always introduce my lovely, beautiful, she's over there pretending to be crying. This is good. Yeah, so I started getting into teaching, and then it's like, oh, yeah. All right, we're having enough fun here already. So, yes, I want to introduce my sweetheart as I always do, always try to do, and let her share a few things.
Awesome. Hi, everyone, again. It's so good to be able to laugh while we're doing this. You know, as we were mentioning the other day, we continue to grow, and as we pray every time before we start the podcast, and this is definitely the Lord's, and He's just using us as vessel. So we are growing in this process, and as we get even more comfortable, and we know that this word is making a difference in the listener's heart and their lives. It's so good to be able to just relax and actually enjoy it. And I can say it for myself. I'm definitely enjoying doing these podcasts much more. So this topic is amazing. I mean, when we just looked at each other when we said, wow, this is number 11. And God has so much to teach us. And, you know, I want to take a moment and honor those and thank God for those who have come before you and the teachers now that are presently teaching the body of Christ and discipling, because they left a legacy, and still today we are able to learn from what they taught us. As yesterday you were recommending, making mention of that book from Derek Prince, I believe it was, right? And we thank God for men and women of faith, men and women that have been obedient, and they have walked in their gift. And so they have encouraged and have helped the body of Christ. So praise God for them, and praise God for you, and praise God for our listeners, because they too can leave a legacy for the glory of God.
Amen, sweetheart. You always say things so profound and so awesome. I mean, I just love what you shared. And yesterday, what you shared was really, really good. You know, and I really felt led to turn it over to you for, you know, a good portion there. And you're such a blessing to my life as well as Susie's podcasts. So getting back to the gift of faith, as I said, one of the ones that stick out in my mind is the raising of the dead of Lazarus, you know, Jesus raising him from the dead. And I say that because how can you step out into something like that and know that it's going to happen? Now, of course, you know, we were talking before this podcast, you know, kind of summarizing some of the things we're getting into now, is people will say, well, Jesus did those things because he was the Son of God. He had all power. He can do anything he wants to do. So he didn't have to operate by any special gifts. He's just the Son of God, has the power to do whatever. But that's not actually how he operated, because we've mentioned this before. He said so himself in John chapter 5, verse 19. He said the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, the Son does in likewise manner. He was completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit to lead him. Now, someone says, oh, that sounds like, you know, blasphemy there, because you're saying that he's limited in what he can do. That's exactly what I'm saying. And I'm saying that because he put himself in a position to be that way.
He
from
chose
heaven,
right.
He had all power, him and the Father, you know, had all power. But when he came to the earth and took on the form of a man, he stripped himself, as it says, I think, in Thessalonians chapter 2. I don't, I may be wrong where I'm quoting this from, because I hadn't prepared that particular verse for this lesson. But he came to earth in a human form, human body, and he denied himself of all the power that he could have. And he walked the earth being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being empowered by God at the age of 30. Said the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. It's, you know, when John the Baptist was baptizing him in the River Jordan. And it said that he was about, supposing at the age of 30 years old. Then he went into the wilderness, was tempted by the devil, and after 40 days of fasting and going through those temptations, he came back in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. That was the beginning of his miraculous ministry. Prior to that, he didn't perform one miracle. He didn't heal anyone who's sick. He didn't cast out any demons. He didn't cleanse any lepers. He didn't do anything prior to that, because he was not empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that prior to that time. And some people say, well, I didn't even know that. But it's true, because he acted in accordance with the leading of the Holy Spirit. And he was baptized with the Holy Spirit's power at about the age of 30, and then began his public ministry then. And so he basically left us an example of how to walk. You know, we're to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well and be empowered. And we haven't really talked about that yet in this series, because that's where all these gifts come from. They come from the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
That's true.
And we'll get to that in one of these podcasts here. But I wanted to talk about the gifts first. Generally, I do it the opposite. I talk about the baptism first, then the gifts, but I decided to do it differently this time.
I was just going to mention that, yes, Jesus came fully God, but also fully man, because he made a way for us. He showed us what we could do, because he said, follow me, imitate me. So he made a way. He showed us as human beings what was accessible to us. So absolutely.
Yes, sweetheart, it's exactly what he did. And so with that example, we can look and study his, you know, the things that he did and how he did them. And, you know, we can, through also teaching them from those who've gained revelation of these things,
right,
have a better understanding of how those gifts operated, you know, because some say, well, he just did them because he's the Son of God. Well, no, like you said, he said that the Son can do nothing of himself. What he sees the Father do, he does in likewise manner. And so when you look at a particular event that occurred in his life, in his ministry, then you can say, okay, which one of these gifts of the Spirit was in operation? Like, for example, you mentioned Lazarus. he was dead for what, 4 days, right?
That's right, 4 days.
4 days, and they were speaking to him, and they said that he was sick, right? And if I remember right, in advance, this is before he went there. And basically, he told his disciples that he was going to go awaken him, right? And they said, sleeping. Well, if he's asleep, he will recover, right?
Right.
And basically, he said, no, he's dead. They weren't getting the drift of what he was talking mm-hmm. about. So he gets there 4 days later, and of course, Mary and Martha is coming out to him. And one of them said, you know, that if he'd have been there, this wouldn't have happened, and so on and so on. And he said, well, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. And he said, well, I know, you know, we'll see him in the resurrection, whatever. Well, Jesus was already prepping them for what he was about to do. He knew clearly what he was going to do. Okay, so how can you step out and say, oh, I know this guy, I'm going to raise that person from the dead? What gift was in operation? Because like I said, he didn't do things simply because he was the Son of God. He did it because he was empowered by the Spirit, and he operated by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So this gift that he operated was obviously dunamis power, the working of miracles, is what raised him up. But what was it caused him to step out and operate that for that gift to come into operation? What allowed him to step out there and stand in front of that tomb, in front of all these people, and say, Lazarus, come forth, and knowing it was going to happen? The gift of faith.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, so somebody says, well, you know, we can do the same thing. So you know what? Next time I go to a funeral, you know, we're going to get up there, and we're going to lay hands on the person in the casket, and we're going to raise them up. And that would be very foolish to try to do unless you knew that you knew that God said to do it. Not, I think he might be saying. Or, oh, I'm going to try it and I'm going to step out in faith.
I hear that a lot.
You know, and there is a truth to stepping out in faith on some things. But when it comes to something like that, that would be unwise, very unwise, because one is the family is there grieving the loss of a loved one. And if this ain't God speaking to you to go up there and lay hands on that person or command them to come back to life in front of the whole mm-hmm. funeral service, you not only would you bring shame and embarrassment on yourself, but it hurt.
The pain, of course.
The pain upon the family.
The grieving.
And so that's not a wise thing to do. So trying to step out in faith, unless God is telling you to step out in faith, don't try something like that. But the point that I'm bringing up here is this: with the gift of faith, it empowers you to have the ability to do things that you normally cannot do. It gives you a boldness of knowing that you know that you know that this is going to happen. Because you know. How do you know? By the power of God manifesting. Because this is a gift that manifests as the Spirit wills. And when that gift manifests, all doubt is removed. You know that you know. God's going to do it. It's God moving on you with his faith, with the power of his faith to act. And so somebody might say, well, you know, that's all great and everything about raising up the dead, but I don't know anybody doing that. And second of all, why would that be so important anyway? You know, it ain't necessarily about the raising of the dead itself as much as it is about what God wants to do in order to draw people to him, right? Because, yes, you know, maybe someone's loved one died and they've been praying for God to bring them back, you know? We know in that funeral procession that Jesus stopped, where a widow, her son had died, and she was he was her only son. And she was grieving, and God and the Lord Jesus had felt compassion for her, and he stopped the funeral procession, and he commanded the boy to arise, the young man to arise, and gave him back to her mother, his mother. And so, as an act of compassion, the Lord did that by the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't just do it just because he wanted to.
Once again, right, it wasn't because he was just moved with his emotions, which of course we know that he had emotions, but he did it because he saw the Father to it. If he said, I only do that which I see my Father do, then he already saw that happening. And that is why when we speak about these gifts, we can't disconnect this from our relationship with the Lord, because we have to see what God is doing. And that's where the faith comes in, that boldness, that assurance. We don't even explain it. We can't explain it, but your spirit man knows, because it's already been revealed that that's what's happening. The Father said, yes, okay. The Father impressed it already in our spirit. So it's a done deal. That's why the boldness is there.
And there's other illustrations we can show in the New Testament as well. You know, the gift of the working of miracles often works alongside with the gift of faith. And with that gift, you know, many miracles can take place. For example, Jesus turned the water into wine. That was the operation of the gift of working of miracles and the gift of faith. Because he had to have faith to say, to go fill up the water pots
That's
with
so
water.
True, with water.
Right? And knowing that he was going to turn it into wine. You know, because if you don't have that kind of faith, you're not going to dare step out and say something like that to do that. You know, because you're going to be embarrassed if it isn't God backing you up with it. Now, let me give an example in my own life, my own ministry, where the gift of faith came into operation. And it works similar to what you said, sweetheart. In that particular case, it is God had revealed to me in advance that there was somebody he wanted to heal. And I had been reading one of Smith Wigglesworth's books, and you know, it's been a custom that God has, the Lord has often done in my life, is I'll get a picture of a page number to turn to. I can just see it clearly, like in a vision. And I'll turn to that page and I'll read something on there, and something will just stick out, you know, a word that God will impress upon me for whatever reason. It could be different things for different times. But this particular time, I had just bought a book of his from a Christian bookstore. And when I got home and opened up that book, or as a matter of fact, I think it was in the car before I got to the home, I got a page number come to me like that. And I turned to it and I said, oh my gosh, this is the exact same incident story that he told in another one of my books I had just read the day before. A different book. Sometimes, you know, the books have some of the same stories in them. Mm-hmm. And it was exactly the same one about God healing somebody. And right then, all of a sudden, the faith came alive in my heart. God was showing me there was somebody he's wanting me to pray for that he wanted to heal. So I knew he was going to use me to heal somebody.
Amen.
I didn't know who it was at that moment. Mm-hmm. But what so happened to happen to come to pass was that I got a call from a friend of mine's brother who I didn't know very well, and he asked me could I come over to his house or a place where he lived and work on his computer. He had something wrong with it, and he had known I had some computer, you know, skills. And so I said, okay. So I went over there on a Thursday or Friday, and was working on his computer. And while we're sitting there talking, he starts telling me about he's getting ready to go to the hospital the following Monday, I think it was. And he's going in for an operation on his heart.
Oh, wow.
They're going to put a stent in his heart. This guy's 42 years old. And he's got heart problems. And they said, you know, take it very easy. Don't do anything strenuous, you know. And we're coming, we're going to put that stent in because he had something, partial blockage of one of his arteries. Right then, I knew he was the one. I knew. I didn't think, well, I wonder if this is the guy. I knew he was the guy.
Wow.
That knowing came alive in my spirit. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, now how am I going to go about this? You know, because it's one thing for God to show me who's going to heal or wants to heal, but to get them to the place also of faith. I said, you know what? I said, how about I come over tomorrow night and I talk to you more about God's healing power and faith in those things. Because we were talking about the computer for most of the night, and it was almost time to go home already. And so he said, okay. Nice. And so I came over the next night, and we talked about that, and I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. When I got down, we spent most of the evenings talking about the Word and about his walk relationship with the Lord and all this type of stuff. And I said, here's what I'm going to do. And this is why I'm leaving. We're standing out on the sidewalk. I said, I'm going to lay my hands on you, and I'm going to pray that God will heal you, and he's going to heal you.
Amen.
And I said, now understand this, how God has used me, you know, because God can use people in different ways. I said, you may or may not feel anything, but the Lord is telling me that he will heal you if you will believe. I said, do you believe that? Now, I wasn't sure what he was going to answer. He said, yes, I do.
Hallelujah.
So I said, okay. I laid one hand on his chest, one hand on his back, and I prayed, and I didn't feel a thing. Hmm. But I said, I declare you healed in the name of Jesus. I said, so when you go in for that thing, that stent, they'll see, oh my gosh, this thing's open up clear. You don't need the stent.
Hallelujah.
Right? And so I declared him healed in the name of Jesus. And I said, praise God. So when you go in, let him know what happened. Right? Well, I got back with him the next week. And he said, yeah, I went in. And they said, just as you said. They don't know how praise that God. Artery was open wide like that. He said, but they didn't know what to do about it. He said, this is not supposed to be this way. So they said they put the stent in anyway as a precaution.
No.
I said, did you tell him that God healed you? Did you mention what I said? He said, no, I didn't say anything. I said, it's exactly why they did what they did, because they couldn't understand why God, how God had done that. You didn't testify the miracle. But you know what? He's still alive.
Praise God.
You know, God praise healed God. That thing, opened it up, yeah. You know. And there's other examples I could give like that. You know, I don't want to go too long in this particular topic here, but the fact is, the gift of faith will give you supernatural faith to act and believe the Word of God. Now, see, when I acted in the faith, I told him, God is going to heal. I didn't say he might. I said, God is going to heal, because I knew God had already spoken to me in advance. The Lord already spoke to me in advance. There's somebody he wanted to heal. And when he told me his story, I knew he was the one. That was it. There was nobody else. I wasn't wondering. I wonder if it's this other guy or that other person. Right. No, I knew he was the one. And I knew that I can declare God is going to heal you.
That's amazing.
Right? So now that doesn't happen all the time, though. You know, a gift come upon you like that. You know, so that gift of faith came into operation.
And that gift of faith is not just limited with healing, right? It could be faith for something other than healing.
It could be for finances. It could be for marriage restoration.
Exactly.
Any number of things. You're right, sweetheart. That's a good... I'm glad you mentioned that, because it isn't just about healing.
Right.
You know, Jesus turned water into wine. That wasn't about healing anybody.
That's a good point.
You know,
point.
Raising Lazarus from the dead or some other things. You know, Paul talked about, you know, if you have faith to move all mountains but have not love, you're nothing, right? Well, he talked about faith to move mountains. And what did Jesus talk about? If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you say this mountain be removed and cast in the sea, and nothing shall be impossible for you. So faith can do a lot of things, but especially the gift of faith. You know, and this is why we're told, you know, this is something we need not to neglect, is when Paul says to desire earnestly spiritual gifts. There's a reason why God wants us to do that. It's because we need to seek things so God can give them to us. Because he needs these gifts in operation. It isn't so we can make sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so to look like some hotshot. This is about helping somebody who's going to need that gift. Somebody's going to be able to need to step beyond their barrier of doubt into, you know, because if you're sitting in a funeral home and suppose God does want to raise that person from the dead, if he was just to speak it to your mind, a thought, that wouldn't be enough, because I'd be like, was that God? How do I know? Because if I get up there and make a fool out of myself. But when the gift of faith comes on you, you're bold as a lion. you know that you know.
Hallelujah.
Just like I was with him, with my friend, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we need these gifts because that's also is going to apply to other areas as well. Like, for example, being able to stand up to evil. To have the faith to stand up to somebody who's demon-possessed. You know, I'm not saying, you know, let's, you know, make a disclaimer here. Somebody pulls a gun on you and says, give me your wallet. If the gift of faith comes on you, you can stop it right there dead in its tracks. But if the gift of faith doesn't come upon you, it might be wise to give him the wallet.
Give him the wallet.
Right? You know, so that's why I say I make a disclaimer. You need to know whether the gifts are in operation. You need know the gift when it's in operation. But if there's any doubt about it, if the doubt is coming, then it's most likely it's not in operation.
That's right.
So don't do something foolish. Because I can tell you some stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who said, oh yeah, you can, you know, I heard a story about a girl who was a cashier or something in a convenience store, and a guy came in to rob. And she's been hearing some of the stuff about faith. And he said, well, you can shoot me, but God will protect me. Well, she already opened the door with that, and he did shoot her. And she survived. But, you know, that wasn't a gift of faith in operation. For one, she said, you can shoot me, but God will protect me. Well, he did protect her from dying, but she's in a wheelchair the rest of her life.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, so that's, you know, we don't want to do things that are not wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in following God and the leading of his spirit and operating in the gifts, when the gift like that comes into operation, you know that you know that you know. It's not presumption. Let's make that clear. It's not being presumptuous or saying, I'm going to step out in faith and try this. No, even when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness and took him up to the top of the pinnacle of the temple and said, cast yourself down here, for it is written, you know, the angels will, you know, bear you up in their hands.
They'll catch you.
He quoted Psalm 91, verse 11, right? But Jesus said, on the contrary, you know, it is written, you should not put the Lord your God to the test. So if it comes to something dangerous, you better know that God's saying it.
Right.
And don't come back and blaming me or somebody who said, well, they give you wrong teaching. I'm giving you the disclaimer. You better know God is saying it. It'd be that gift to be in operation. But with those gifts comes great power. And we need to be seeking them because it's God's will. So anyway, we're going to conclude here on this particular subject. And My sweetheart's indicating something's wrong with her throat and she can't talk. So she wants me to do the invitation to the lost. Okay. Well, having said that, I don't know. I think she's just like feeling shy today. I don't know what it is. But anyway, I love her anyway. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
I love you too.
So this might be the one we can actually close out right at 30 minutes. We've been endeavoring to try to do that. So anyway, you know, enough jokes aside here, you know. Yes, so we want to extend the invitation that if you are listening and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen.
And you can know him today. All it takes is believing that God sent him to the cross for your sins. He went to the cross, died for your sins, rose again the third day so that you can be saved because he paid the price for your sins.
Amen.
Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior, and he come to save us from our sins. And if you would accept that and receive him in your life as your Savior and make him your Lord, your boss, to be the one who will guide and direct your life, you'll be saved. You know, I mean, you can be saved, you know, but making him Lord is an added benefit that you need to do because discipleship is something he's asking of his followers, is to serve him and give your life to him. So why not go all in? Give him your whole life, surrender your life to him to follow his plan. I'm telling you, he's got a sweet, beautiful, wonderful plan for your life.
Amen.
And you're not going to find a better way to live in this earth without him. You might say, well, I got all my whole life ahead of me. You know, I ain't ready to give my life to the Lord right now. I got a whole lot of things I want to do. Let me warn you, you're not promised tomorrow. And I'm not saying God's going to strike you down. Things can happen. There's a devil in the world comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And unfortunately, and this is the truth, people are going to wake up tomorrow and they're going to be tragedy in their life. When we turn on the news and hear about bad things happening, believe me, those people who those bad things happening were not expecting those the day before.
That's right.
And it ain't that God is like punishing people. No, things come like that and you need to be prepared. And in Christ, you got his benefits of his divine protection and all those things that you can enter into through a covenant. We talked about this in previous podcasts, and I recommend that you go back and listen to these things, because in the covenant are blessings of divine protection, of healing, and all these things that you are entitled to through the covenant. But you're not entitled to them if you're not in the covenant.
That's right.
And you got to get into that covenant is by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and learn to follow him and learn the word of God. And so you can activate those promises by faith. So all you got to do is ask him to come into your heart. If you believe that Jesus came to die for your sins and you receive him as your Lord and Savior, you shall be saved.
Amen.
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 All right, sweetheart. We'll close this thing out now, and we thank everybody for listening, and God bless you, and we'll talk to you another time.
God bless.
Bye-bye.